A következő műsor megtekintése 16 éven aluliak számára nem ajánlott.
Vezetők, akik átírták a történelmet.
Politikusok, akiknek korlátlan hatalmuk volt sok millió ember sorsa felett.
Diktátorok, akik élet és halál urai voltak.
Apák, akiknek örökségét ma a gyerekeik cipelik.
Az On the Spot 6. évada róluk szól. Diktátorok leszármazottairól.
A történelmet sokan ismerik, de minket most az ő történetük érdekel. Szubjektív lesz, nem is lehet más. Lesz köztük, aki jobban gyűlöli az apját, mint az áldozatai. Mások minden áron védeni akarják a szüleiket, és olyannal is találkozunk, aki egyenesen megszökött az apja rendszeréből.
A helyszínek között van Uganda, Kambodzsa, Kuba, Chile és Németország is. 5 kontinensre utazunk el most is táv nélkül 2 kis kamerával, hogy minél közelebbről megismerjük őket.
De azt nem tudjuk, hogy vajon képesek leszünk-e az apjuktól függetlenül látni őket, a diktátorok gyermekeit. Hermann Göring a náci birodalom második embere. Adolf Hitler őt nevezte ki első számú helyettesének. Volt a Reichstag elnöke, Poroszország teljhatalmú ura, megszervezte a gestapót és az első koncentrációs táborokat. Majd az ő utasítására dolgozták ki a zsidó kérdés végső megoldását, vagyis a zsidó nép kiirtását.
Berlin. Hitler hosszú távú terveiben a világ német fővárosaként szerepelt. Ma befogadó és színes metropolis. A sütik között Bettina Göring válogat. Az elmúlt évtizedekben az Egyesült Államokban élt, de most úgy döntött, ott hagyja Amerikát. Először Németországba jött látogatóba, a férjével, Adival. Nem tudják, hogy hol telepedjenek le, és amíg ki nem találják, utazgatnak a világban, illetve Bettina családregényén dolgoznak.
Bettinát távoli rokonság fűzi Hermann Göringhez. Eleinte sok kellemetlenséget okozott neki, hogy Göringnek hívták, ezért megváltoztatta a nevét. De hamarosan rá kellett jönnie, hogy ezzel nem oldott meg semmit.
Well, it's been a journey, is all I can say. A journey of understanding and a journey of forgiving. Forgiving is a big one. I mean, that's how the only way I can see to get over this dilemma. I'm going to rinse them. I wonder if there's... The trouble really started, like I said, when my grandmother got into living with us. I had to stay with her when I was 5 or 6, and she stayed in this little town, and the kids wouldn't play with me. we watched a documentary start coming out, and we had only TV when I was 11 or 12 or something. And we watched one, and she would sit there and say, it's all lies, it's all lies. It never happened when they discovered the concentration camps, like all the bones and all the dead people. And we were like, oh! And my brother hated her for it, and he threw shoes at her. But that's how it really kind of erupted in our house, like all this stuff at that time. It was difficult. I didn't like that either, because it was too cruel for me to... Even if she's a Nazi, you still don't throw shoes at the old lady, kind of. It's pretty rough. I guess you believe what you want to believe. I can't quite see it, especially when we know as much as we researched the position she was in. How could she have not known? She was so close to the happening. So close. Right there.
Yeah, the German Red Cross really was... not a humanitarian organization.
She was had a big position in the Red Cross.
She was one of the heads of the Red Cross.
She was a real Nazi, number one, and then she was really glorifying her two sons that she lost. And what we see is there was so much loss. Her father died young, her husband died young, her two sons died young, all of war. It must have been bitter. I mean, I'm trying to understand her, too, somewhat.
Electrical plate.
Yeah?
Turn on the...
The sand can start to boil up.
Get it? On the
All that sort of came to a boil when my grandmother came and my mom started taking care of her as well. She was sick, but my grandmother treated my mom very negatively. And so a lot of resentment started to boil up against that family and their opinions and stuff. And my father sort of was pretty passive with it, but I directed my anger at him. He didn't have much of a spine, huh? And I attacked him about that he never even cleaned up after himself. And I made him so mad, my father hardly ever hit me, that one day we were sitting there and I had just attacked him on that and he hit me with his Göring ring, which I now have one. That was fine. And I was bleeding. So this was very significant because hitting and all this stuff didn't happen in the family, you know, like how in this more upper class families you don't scream, you don't hit, it's all like
you, swallow,
you swallow so this was kind of big, and I hit back, and my father was in very good physical state, and in no time he laid down and I was shaking. And I remember I ran into the bathroom after he laid down there, and my whole chin was like shaking, and I ran away after that. Didn't even think of it.
Yeah, now they're a little overcooked.
No, that's okay with that kind of thing. We have a little of the yogurt with it, as raita, if anybody wants. What is this doing here? There's plenty of people who have fascist ancestors, but it doesn't mean they deal with it or want to deal with it because it's so painful. I've been working on that for a while, and I feel like a certain acceptance of myself with it. And it's so schizophrenic. How can you forgive somebody who does some horrible things like this? Unforgivable things. And yet, you have to, if you want to really move on. The only people who I know who really seem to have succeeded is a person who was in the Holocaust. Very inspiring lady. Her name is Eva Kohr. You ever heard of her? She was one of the objects of Dr. Mengele. Yeah. So she was a twin who was a teenager, and she and her sister were used. And she's now in her 80s, I think, late 70s, 80s or so. And we met her a couple of years ago in Weimar at a meeting. And it was all about forgiving. Her sister died in the 60s or 70s of some kidney disease, which was still something to do with what had been done to them in the concentration camps. And at that point, she realized, if I want to survive, I have to do something really radical here. And that's what she did. She said, I forgive Dr. Mengele, I forgive all the Nazis, I'm just going to get over it. For me, it's been stages of healing. I'm a healer myself. I mean, I see all this. I was just seeing how it still weighs on me, you know, my own judgments against my own family, how it weighs on my psyche, and I just don't want it anymore.
You can see it if you look around.
Mm-hmm. I think we get it from the stove.
Okay,
I try. Oh, it's delicious.
It is. For real.
Hold on, you can pretend.
Tastes actually good.
That's very good. When I was younger and I was in the leftist movement, and it was about being a leader of this, and I said, okay, small group, I can do big, no way. Like really being afraid of the abuse of power. So there was, I don't know if you call it self-hate, but definitely a fear of, if I would go into these footsteps, it'd be disastrous.
That's like Hermann and these people, Göring, they literally went over dead bodies. I mean, they went as far as killed their own co-conspirators, like the Röhm Putsch is a total example of it. You know? Hitler came to power, the first thing he killed his rivals, you know, the ones who were with him. And he was one of the few people, out of five people maybe, who had a very, very intimate relationship to Hitler. And he was personally present when he got arrested. He went there and was there when he got arrested, and then he went away and later gave the command to kill him. So what does it make you if you can do that? Somebody who was a friend, somebody who supported you, somebody you were very close to, do that. And just for power, you just let him die. And let him die, you have him killed. That's a psychopath. You know? That's what the definition of a psychopath is. And Göring wasn't any different. I mean, he said, I declare, or I say, who is a Jew, was one of his famous sayings. But then at the Wannsee Conference, he signed the final solution. I mean, he signed it. You know, his name was under it as the highest authority. So he gave the order to eliminate the final solution, eliminate all the Jews, kill them all. And he wasn't very picky about people who were useful to him. He supported, and even whether they were Jews or not, he wasn't really anti-Semitic, I would say. He really was a total opportunist and was totally into power. And he literally sold his soul.
I don't think your genes is your destiny. On the other hand, to completely deny them, see, I'm coming from the other extreme. I was there, and it was a learning experience in my life to see that the genes do matter as well. And there's this thing, I mean, the Native Americans, every country, every religion, every culture has this thing of honoring your ancestors. And to completely judge them and say they are awful and you want nothing to do with them, it's a problem here too. That's what I'm trying to work with. I'm trying to heal something there in me, and it doesn't change anything of what they've done at the same time. So it's like as if you say, half of your ancestry, half of your genes are bad. That's not so cool. Doing, in my case, the sterilization, that is a way of cutting it off that is rather extreme. Huh?
How old were you?
30, 31. And it wasn't just for that. At the time, I wasn't so consciously that I did it because of that. It was more like, oh, I've never wanted children. If I don't want to have them now, I think I'll do that. It was like that, you know. I mean, you're cutting part of yourself, big part. The reproductive part, you're cutting the genes. You are. To go on. It took a long time to even realize that having that judgment of my family has had a lot to do with it. I think it did. Also. You know, not alone, but also. And when we got together, which was after I had my tubes tied, my body didn't like it very much after I did that. And I started to go to acupuncture. And after a year, and around the same time we met, I got pregnant, in spite of it. And so, and then I had a miscarriage, and I wanted the child. It was like the first time, oh, wow, I actually do. And then I think it healed itself. As things happen, wild things happen, huh? Then and he didn't want a child. And then I thought, well, if this is meant to be, it'll happen. And it didn't. Again. I mean, it was a one time. I can look at it hormonally, but I was so happy being pregnant. I understood why women get addicted to being pregnant. I thought, I had no idea because of the tubes tying. And I thought I'd gotten enlightened or something. I was so happy. Die Straße 109, wissen Sie, welche die ist?
Das war früher mal die, wo wollen Sie denn hin?
Fahren Sie 140 Meter, dann links abbiegen in die Messingbergstraße.
Geradeaus ist
auch, links abbiegen in die Messingbergstraße.
Altenhofs geradeaus, 9 ja. Kilometer.
Just want to stop the lady here. She is a bit
annoying.
Ich will dann nochmal fragen, der Kaiserbahnhof, da ist so ein Bahnhof und eine Gaststätte, die wissen, können Ihnen da bestimmt weiterhelfen.
Okay, ja? Danke schön. Nach Altenhof und you up im Stall, dann ist die Tür ausgepust, lady.
Did it ring a bell to her when you said Karrenhof?
Yeah, she said, she kind of knows. Rolling Hills.
Nicht mehr viel zu sehen.
Ja.
Alles, die Natur hat sich alles zurückgeholt. Wir hatten ja damals auch alles gesprengt gehabt.
Mhm.
Ja.
Und geht eine Straße irgendwie hin?
Es geht ein Weg hin. Hier,
so.
Wanderwege und also man Waldwege. Kann, man kommt da schon hin. Aber
nur laufen.
Ja.
Zu Fuß.
It doesn't really sound very promising. It's like you walk into the forest there and maybe you see a piece of concrete sticking out. That's about as good as it gets. It's maybe a couple of kilometers to walk from the next, like, there is another small lake. If we get as far as that lake to find a parking place and then walk along the lake, so we'll see. Honestly, I'm not that interested. While my father was dying, I had to sort out all his stuff. That is when I found a Göring picture. I found an old picture of him when he was thin and good looking. And I saw the resemblance, and I was shocked. And I ripped the picture up. Yeah, yeah. So that was like, oh God. I'm like these guys. I look like them. Waldtiere. It's just something about animals in the forest.
Follow it. What else can we do?
He built this huge place, Karinheim, as a mausoleum for his first wife. Karin died in 31, who he must have loved very much. And he was incredibly pompous, and so was the place. He loved to show off, that's what I mean with pompous. He changed his uniform 5 times a day and invited all sorts of prominent people here and had a little zoo, and it was totally over the top. They also say if you are morphium addicted, that will bring out illusions of grandeur. I heard that. Seems to fit, huh? Since he was that. Yeah. I think Hermann had to prove himself. And his godfather, the guy who had the little castles, von Eppenstein, yeah, he was also really pompous, and it looks like he modeled himself after him because he built himself a little castle. He started an affair with Hermann's mother, and he really liked Hermann and supported him, and he was the godfather of Hermann. And his father was half Jewish, I think. Hermann, I think, modeled himself a bit after him.
After a Jewish man.
After a Jewish man, isn't that funny, yeah. Von Eppenstein. Yeah.
What is this?
I don't know. It's some protected area. There's nothing to do with it. That doesn't say anything. I'm not so interested in Hermann's life as such. I'm only really interested where it intersected my grandmother's. For once, she married into her own family, or my grandfather, the brother of Hermann. There's the one guy who was the consul in Africa. He had 2 wives, 5 children with each wife. The first wife died young in childbirth, and then he got married again a few years later to the lady who took care of the first few kids, the governess. The mother of my grandmother is one of the first 5. The first son of the next 5 is my grandfather. They married each other. It's a bit complicated. And that way, Hermann was her uncle, like her husband was her uncle. My father always thought it was funny that I would be my own aunt. Yeah? We're already getting to the corner of the lake here, I think. You see that? Are there private lakes in Germany?
Yes, there are some in Harker.
Yeah, him. And in that time, I'm sure that was so. But now, I mean, in Hermann's life, then anything was possible. Well, now what? How much further do we want to do this?
Around the lake it is 12 kilometers.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm just walking, I'm getting tired. That's it.
Now that we got that far, it should be something.
So one thing I keep hearing from my grandmother, from even Hermann, that they feel powerless next to Adolf and give all their power to him. A lot of people seem to have done that, no? It's like a religion, it's like the Messiah. That's why the Nazis weren't into any other religion, because they were their own religion. And yet in our time and age, we cannot imagine this madness, no? Can you imagine it? No. I mean, when you hear them talk, like Hitler, one of his speeches, you go, how could anybody listen to this guy? Seems ridiculous.
Sehen Sie in Ihren notwendige Verpflichtung. Sieg heil!
Heil! That thing seems to be in the middle of nowhere. Here, Karin Hall. There you go. Maybe that's all that's left. He sure knew how to pick nice places, huh? Look, they're all dead trees. Almost dead. Uh-huh, here are some foundations maybe. Or maybe not. Yeah, look, not much, nothing. Few foundation pieces, completely eradicated. Oh, he didn't want it to go into the hands of the enemy. I guess the Russians came closer, he blew it up, or he had somebody blew it up. Yeah, it's nice, a healing of the earth. I think that's wonderful.
See that concrete here? That is at least a foot or 2 feet thick.
It's wonderful that nature took over this wonderful natural place and went back to what it was. She comes up with stuff. Unbelievable. Du machst Sachen.
Und der Name von dem Zoll. Gibt es einen französischen Namen? Den können wir aber nicht richtig. Oder einen holländischen.
Nee, Französisch. Aber auf Deutsch heißt es Krachen im Mund. Es knackt nämlich im Mund, wenn man es isst.
It's exciting to try.
Ja,
it.
Ja, muss komplett rein, dann kracht es richtig. Komplett rein, es gibt bloß eine Sauerei.
Ist das nicht toll? In die Zahne? Und jetzt kracht es, hörst du es? Jetzt kracht es.
Ja.
Wie hieß es nochmal?
Kracher im Mund.
Jetzt komm, sonst kommst du ins Heim. Jetzt, wie heißt es?
Auf Englisch?
Französisch.
Croque-à-bouche.
Croque-à-bouche.
Die wollten unbedingt Karin Hall finden.
Und wussten nicht genau, wo es ist.
Ja.
Haben uns darum gefragt. Pontius bis Pilatus und haben es tatsächlich dann gefunden.
Ein Stein, wo Karin Hall draufsteht am Anfang.
Ja, am Anfang.
Und sonst nichts gefunden?
Nee, das ist alles, was da ist.
Alles überwachsen. So schön, finde ich toll.
Ja, das ist auch was
Schönes. Ich finde, es war das Beste an der ganzen Sache.
Weil Nature claimed it back.
Das ist so eine verrückte Geschichte sowieso, was da alles gelaufen ist. Und dass das alles von wunderbarer Natur überwachsen war, war die beste Geschichte.
Aber das ist ja nach wie vor sehr aufreibend, auch für dich, jetzt so immer wieder einzusteigen. In
ja, ja, Geschichte. Also das,
jetzt, was ich sage,
das war mir ein bisschen viel gestern da mit diesem Karin Hall, weil da sind so viele komischen Geschichten, das ist so schräg, ne? Auch diese ganzen Exzesse von dem Hermann, das interessiert mich auch nicht so, weil der war so exzessiv, ne, mit seinen ganzen super pompösen Geschichten, die er da gemacht hat. Das,
ja, da gibt es so einen Bericht, wo am Ende des Familientreffens sie alle zum Wannsee rausgehen und dann erscheint am Horizont dann ein Boot und es wird größer und größer und es wird die Yacht und es ist die Karin 2 erscheint und legt sich neben das Boot, auf dem die dieses Fest hatten.
Ja.
Und dann der Reichsmarschall war, glaube ich, schon zu der Zeit.
Unglaublich, das ist so pathetisch.
Tritt dann aus der Kajüte heraus.
Was sind die Zeit?
Also wie das, so ist es geschrieben, ne, auf diese Art.
Also du kriegst
pathetisch,
zu viel.
In einem super Stil, ja, der uns dann beglückwünscht zu unserem Familientreffen. Und also die, wie, und wir sind alle so beglückt von diesem Moment der Herrlichkeit. Und, also es ist kaum auszuhalten. Da kriegst du was Zucker. Krank, wenn du siehst. Du hast Diabetes auf der Stelle. So schnäuzig ist das. Da habe ich einen Bericht gefunden von dem General, der ihn verhaftet hat. Tatsächlich, der hat ihn selber den Bericht geschrieben. Dann hat der General gesagt, mit ihm waren eben seine Frau, seine Tochter und seine Nichte. Und die Nichte in der Zeit kann nur...
Schwägerin.
Nichte oder Schwägerin.
Das ist ja beide, ja.
Ja, beides. Kann also nur die Großmutter von ihr gewesen sein. Ja. Ist dann, also ist auch wieder spaßig, ganz witzig. Die haben ihn dann versucht, in ein Kleinflugzeug zu färchen. Da hat er dann auch sehr lustig geschrieben, hatte wie, we had a lot of trouble to get him into this airplane, but somehow we managed. Göring hatte nicht die geringste Ahnung, dass er überhaupt als Kriegsverbrecher behandelt wurde. Der dachte, er würde also eher, er hatte mich dem General noch gefragt, ja, wenn ich jetzt Eisenhower treffe, soll ich da einen Zierdolch oder einen Zierdegen tragen? Und, der, und dann hat er gesagt, du wirst den Eisenhower aber nie treffen, denn du wirst wahrscheinlich als Kriegsverbrecher angeklagt. Das war ihm also aus allen Wolken gefallen. Das wird also nicht nie erwartet. Der dachte, wird als Offizier, eben Unteroffizier, wird er mit Ehren und Würde da aufgenommen, wie das so üblich war.
Also
früher,
so eine Verkennung auch der Realität oder der Situation. Also wie hat sich das...
Die haben ja anscheinend immer noch gedacht, sie würden da was Tolles machen.
Ja.
Unglaublich, ne?
Aber auch so fremd, so sich, also der Situation so entfremdet zu sein.
Ja, ja, völlig, ja. Und er hat ja auch noch, nachdem er dann zum Tode verurteilt war, er sagt, ja, ich akzeptiere das Urteil unter einer Bedingung, dass ich erschossen werde. Wie das sich gehört für einen Offizier, ne?
Also ehrenvoll oder als Kriegsteilnehmer.
Aber dass er gehängt werden sollte wie ein gemeiner Verbrecher, das war ihm zu viel. Und da hat er sich dann irgendwie das Gift besorgt. Ne?
Und wie ist das für dich, wenn du da jetzt immer so einsteigst wieder? Das sind ja
also
immer
manchmal
so.
Manchmal komme ich mir vor, als ob ich im Geisterland bin. Ja. Ne? Also gestern zum Beispiel. Ja? Und wenn da diese ganzen. Das sind zum Beispiel, was die da wieder erzählt haben von Karin Hall, diese Exzesse, die da gelaufen sind, denke ich mir, oh Gott, da willst du überhaupt nichts mit zu tun haben. Ne?
Also wie so, auch so entfremdet von dir selbst.
Ja, das hat also ja auch mit mir überhaupt nichts zu tun.
Ja, eben, das wird nur an dich drangehängt. Kannst du eigentlich mit so einer Geschichte auch leben, die an dir dranhängt, die nicht du bist, sondern die an dir hängt.
Genau. Ja. Und dann ist natürlich nett, mal sowas zu hören wie Albert oder so.
Ja.
Ne? Aber gleichzeitig sind die alle weit weg. Ne?
Natürlich.
Und auch er. Ne? Aber es ist angenehm zu hören, da gab es auch mal einen guten. Ne? Also es ist nicht nur...
Es tut dann gut, ja.
Ja, es tut gut, ja. Und dann halt die andere Seite, die für mich halt so irgendwie so der Lernprozess dann trotzdem zu akzeptieren, dass ein Teil dieser Familie ich eben auch bin. Ne?
Ja.
Das ist halt die andere Seite. Und das irgendwie zu akzeptieren, das ist halt, das ist, finde ich, ist die Heilung als solche. Und es ist auch sehr schizophren. Ja.
Ja.
A Göring család pozitív hőse nem más, mint Hermann testvére, Albert Göring. A családi veszekedések krónikái szerint undorodott a nácizmustól. Sok zsidó életét mentette meg, néha éppen Hermann kapcsolatait felhasználva. 1944-ben a nácik körözést adtak ki ellene, de végül a szövetségesek tartóztatták le, pusztán a neve miatt. Hermannal hosszú idő után egy augsburgi börtönben találkozott újra, és mint később kiderült, utoljára.
Hermannt innen Nürnbergbe szállították, ahol elkezdődött a per. Ez volt az első eset a történelemben, hogy háborús bűnökért ítéltek el vezetőket. 12 kaptak halálbüntetést, köztük a birodalom második embere, Göring is.
Weißt du, in meiner Jugend ist das ja wie Stillstand gewesen.
Ja, ja.
Wir hatten die alten Nazis als Lehrer.
Genau, wir auch noch.
Und du auch noch.
Gerade.
Du auch noch.
Ja.
Und ich weiß das nur von meiner Mutter, dass sie immer wieder an Ereignissen oder an Ausgrenzungsgeschichten daran sozusagen wie erkannt hat, dass es wieder so ein alter Nazi.
Ja.
Ja, also der so dieses Gedankengut hat, wir Kinder haben das gar nicht so mitgekriegt.
Ja, genau.
Wir Kinder haben das gar nicht mitgekriegt. Und, oder ich damals in den ersten Klassen. Und erst viel später ist es gekommen und jetzt muss es kommen. Denn die nachfolgende Generation, also unsere Kinder, ja, kümmern die sich darum? Also die sind in ihrem Berufsleben, die sind in ihrer Biografie. Wir wissen das gar nicht mal, weil wir gar nicht so drüber reden.
Mhm.
Und insofern sind ja,
der
die Geschichte.
Sich zu absentieren, zu sagen, ich bin nicht verantwortlich.
Ja, ich gehöre
der wird einerseits von der alten Generation, also von unserer Generation, mhm. ich war ja nicht dabei,
mhm.
O-Ton Kfz-Meister, dafür kann ich doch nicht. Und das andere, was ich ja immer noch so erinnere, ist, wie die Eltern ja dieses vor uns verborgen
ja.
haben. Ja, die Doppelbürdigkeit,
war so,
die beiden dann so, na, die, ja, man sagt Schlagsahne auf den stinkenden
genau.
Tisch, nicht?
Und dann, ja, that's a good one.
Es war schwer, sich wieder fortzubewegen,
mhm.
wiederzukommen, bis dahin, dass du im Grunde rausgeflogen bist. Also wenn du wieder so bist, und Felix hat es einmal mitgekriegt bei meiner Mutter, wenn die dann, als es etwas nicht ausgehalten hat an Fragen, hat sie gesagt, Bärbel? Also, weil Barbara und zu Hause heiße ich Bärbel.
Bärbel?
Also ganz hoch.
Ich bin hier die Chefin.
Ich bin hier die Chefin.
Hier ist Mutter, ja? Du bist
du musst dich benehmen wie ein Kind.
Du hast
also, obwohl ich erwachsen war.
Ja.
Ja? Bärbel?
Bärbel? Jetzt ist aber Schluss.
Ja. Das
ist jetzt ist Schluss.
And the ones who were really involved, like my grandmother, they mm-hmm. completely denied it or they would never say sorry. Mhm. Never.
Ah ja.
Diese richtigen Nazis, nie. Nee. Nie. Mhm. Stell dir mal vor, wenn die damit anfangen würden, die müssen sich ja umbringen.
Ja.
Und
also
es ist so, dass es jetzt in vielen Familiengeheimnisse gibt.
Ja.
Und das ist ja jetzt immer wieder das Standardargument, was jetzt von denen kommt, es muss doch irgendwann mal Schluss sein.
Ja.
Das heißt, eine Auseinandersetzung, selbst mit den Jüngeren der nächsten Generation, ja. kannst du kriegen, da muss doch mal Schluss sein.
Mhm.
Und es haben ja nicht alle die Hand gehoben.
Mhm.
Das ist so ganz schwierig. Also
da, was da an mhm. untergründigem, na sagen wir mal, Fremdenfeindlichkeit
mhm.
erstmal ist,
ja.
ich habe ja da nur meine Verwandtschaft.
Diese Energie die ist noch da, gell?
Die ist absolut
alte.
Da.
Sondern du musst dich dem richtig entziehen und ganz scharf, weil ich halte es manchmal gar nicht aus. Weil sie sofort in so ein rechtes Moment
also
reinverfallen
so
und du denkst, du bist in Vorkriegszeiten.
Die alten Sprüche,
es
sind althergebrachte Sprüche,
also
es ist eine Redundanz da, die schon erschreckend ist und so kein Fatz dazugelernt aus dem Hier und Jetzt.
Irgendwann merkst du, dass das verschwendete Energie ist. Also du kannst einen Nazi nicht überzeugen, kein Nazi zu sein. So war es ja mit meiner Großmutter. Da ist nichts, da kommst du nirgendwo hin. Das sind diese Leute, also da denke ich mir, diese Holocaust-Denier,
ja.
denen kannst du nichts erzählen.
Ja.
Wenn die bis zu diesem Tage so Zeug glauben, was sollst du mit denen machen?
Mhm.
Das ist verschwendete Energie, ne?
Mhm.
Guess so. doesn't say why or how. Is she? I don't know why they're all here. We'll see. Whoopi? It doesn't say. We just came from Israel. We were there for a week.
How come that you visit Israel? Just for curiosity?
Or? No. I'm a descendant on one side of my family from Nazis. Mm-hmm. My name used to be Göring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Das heißt, Sie sind der Enkel?
Ich bin so die Nichte, Großnichte.
Ja, ja.
Ja, ja. Aber auch von meiner Mutterseite ist umgekehrt. Ja. Die war Antifaschisten, die Familie. Also ich habe eine sehr gemischte Familie.
Ja.
Ja. Ja. Sonst würde ich vielleicht auch nicht so das machen, was ich mache.
Mhm. Aber was, das heißt, Sie sind als Aktivist unterwegs?
Ja, so. Und ja, ich bin halt in diesen verschiedenen Dokumentationen. Und ja, also ich mache da ja kein Geld von. Also als Aktivist, ja, so habe ich mich noch nicht gesehen. Aber doch. Stimmt schon, ja. Sure. Oh, how interesting. Number 13 in Jewish law is lucky. I have tons of Jewish friends, but they are more supportive than anything. Actually, the Jews have been the most supportive of this whole journey. Well, it's not surprising. No, they are hurt. Most people who make these comments, you know, like Israel, same as the Nazis again with Palestine, they really don't know what they're talking about. It's not something to easily say, oh, they're behaving just the same. Yes, there is that they have gone from this meek people who have accepted everything to like the opposite of being like Superman, which is understandable. But I mean, the way they look, that was interesting. I mean, just in Tel Aviv, maybe it's not representative, but the young people, they look all so strong and so energetic, no? Don't you think? I mean, they're all going through 3 years of army. Everybody looks so super fit. It's to do with their identity, what they need to do, to feel strong, feel good about themselves. They are different people too. I mean, that's what I was saying to Adi. The people who now live in Israel have not much to do with all the Jews who used to live in Europe. They look different, they behave different, they are very self-important, no? They have a high self-esteem, they are very fit, they are very strong. I don't know, it's an art piece. It's a couple, and on top of it is like Auschwitz or Dachau or something. Can you imagine? You look at that every day in your apartment. How awful. It's 86 and 78 they are. Wow. Tchah. I can only imagine. They have to start fresh, no? It's one thing to be a victim and get your attention from that and then just to be yourself again. And
and a lot of them do that. Of course, they get on with their lives, and they just push it away. That's most people did, I think, and not talk about it. It's probably the fewest who do this. It's very painful to do this every day.
They look pain.
They do look pain, sure. I mean, 60 years later, 70 years later, 65 or what? Every day, Jesus, they are like, they were 20 or less. Imagine.
She was. Otherwise, they wouldn't have.
What?
And probably they're eating under this.
Oh, yeah, I would feel sick.
What an outlook on life.
But it's a choice. So hard. Who are we to say, you know, how to deal with this dilemma? It's horrendous, and they probably lost their whole family, and it's awful. I mean, all one can do is say, look, this is now, this is me, I wish you well, I'm sorry. Forgive my ancestors, please forgive them, and thank you for listening. Cannot do more than that. I can't undo it, what happened. But I'm sorry to say that. It's the most...
Pretty shocking.
Wow. Destruction has already happened before I even was born. And for me it's healing, yeah. What can you do about it? And that's why I wanted you to see this. I decided I wanted to have this tanka, and when you look closely, it's a journey. It's a journey of this guy with the elephant and the monkey, and how they transform over time. See, they get lighter and lighter. Very interesting. And the different stages of it. See, that elephant is half light. Here he's quarter light. The monkey, is it ever light? Must be, because the monkey is all dark, yeah, here, down here, then the head is getting light, then the whole head, only the face, then half his body, here's already half his body. I'm actually born the year of the monkey. I think I'm both. The elephant, for me, represents the slowness of things, but also the sticking with it. Yeah, the perseverance, kind of, and the monkey is the mind. Ba 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 ba. But I thought it was a wonderful thing. That's why I like that tanka. You know, like it's a journey, and there are different stages of understanding, and a big lesson, like we were talking about with you guys a little while ago, how I learned in life that certain things you cannot fix, you cannot make peace with some people. It's one of those situations. First of all, you cannot change the past. It happened. You cannot fix it, you know, like all these people did what they did and got hurt as they did and got murdered and all of it. And all I can do is come to terms with it on some level. And so in the last 8 years, it really came up strong where I went public with it, by talking about it, because even though a lot of work has been done in Germany, more than probably any other country, to deal with this heritage, there's still some piece that has to be healed. How? I mean, I'm dealing with it as it comes up. It's not like that I chose to suffer or so, but it takes as long as it takes to deal with it.
I think a lot of souls got stuck in some limbo of the Holocaust and of the war. I mean, so many people died a violent death. You know, all the soldiers, all the Holocaust victims. And a lot of them are still around because maybe we cannot let them go unconsciously or consciously, and that is with grief, as in from Israel to the Holocaust victims, or maybe with grief for our own ancestors, with judgment, what I was doing, of their actions, with denial, with guilt, any of those emotions. And I think that's why it's so important to try and heal it, to let go of these people. And I think we will be clear to start something else, much more clean. What is evil? Is it made, you know? I think it's too easy to just say somebody is evil and somebody is a psychopath. I think we all have it in us. In the right circumstances, who knows what we will do?
On the Spot online média partnere a vs.hu. Népszabadság. Mérlegeljen.